I'm delighted to see you here. I'm delighted to be here. We enjoy coming to Charity Baptist Church. If we lived on this side of the metro area instead of the other side of the area, guess where we would be attending? It would be right here, that's for sure. We appreciate you people. I wanted to give you a quick report about my wife. You know, I know you're aware that she last year had colon cancer, and they did a follow-up colonoscopy just recently and said she's all clear. And they said, come back in 3 years. The oncologist says, come back in 3 months. But, you know, we just try to do what we're supposed to do. And that's the way that it's going. I want to tell you, I love your pastor. He is such a sweet individual. We chat on the phone from time to time, and we love discussing passages of Scripture, and he reports what all is going on here. Though he hasn't completely kept us up to date, I have to say that. We came in and we see new furniture. I don't observe always some things that take place, but you painted the foyer. Since I retired, we've gotten into a lot of churches, and it's always exciting to see the congregation is keeping up the building and putting their best foot forward, and that reflects leadership both in the pastor and in the people as well. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 21. While you're turning there, I want to emphasize how important it is to read to read in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. People have a tendency to favor the New Testament, but the Old Testament is so rich. God gave it to us for a purpose. There's lessons to be learned in the life of Israel, important lessons to be learned. And I want us to have in mind as we go through this passage before us, Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So we need to keep our strength up. Keep it up spiritually. Keep it up physically as best we can. Now follow with me as we look at these verses. I'm going to run through them to give you some background to the message as we think on the subject this morning. Don't faint when you're discouraged. Verse 21, so they went up and searched the land. They went up by the direction of the Lord. In the first couple of verses of the chapter, the Lord himself spoke and said, I want you to go up. They had come out of the land. God had delivered them from Egypt. They had seen many miracles, fabulous things taking place. and he promised them the land of Palestine. And so he said, I want you to send some men up there, 12 men, to spy out, scout out the land. So they went up. Verse 22, they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where were the children of Anak. We'll see shortly, they were giants in the land. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down the thence a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. Now that's a cluster of grapes for sure. God said it was going to be a land of milk and honey, and they soon found out that's exactly what it was going to be. And they brought also pomegranates and of figs. They made a haul. And they returned from verse 25, I'm going to jump to. They returned from searching out the land. They spent 40 days up there searching it out. What kind of a land is this? We're going to have to fight. What are we faced with? Verse 26, and they came to Moses and Aaron and the congregation, and they showed them the fruit and all the good things that they had seen there. Nevertheless, verse 28, nevertheless, that's always a danger thing. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. And verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea, and Caleb could see this isn't going well. And Caleb stood up, he along with Joshua, and he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess the land. Let's get with it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb knew that what God promised, he's going to complete. And so he said, let's go. But Brother Dennis spoke in Sunday school hour about, but there it is. But the men that went up with him said, no, we're not able to go against this people. They're stronger than we are. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land and that they had searched out, and the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. And all the people saw it, and the men, and we saw all the people, men of great stature, and there we saw the giants of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We don't have a chance. And we move into the next chapter, and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, would God that we had died in Egypt, we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt, the land that they suffered so much in? How stupid, how silly. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. What happened? Remember Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, so small. And we laugh, we chuckle, and say, how stupid. But we all face challenges. We face challenges, and there's a danger of failing. There's a danger of fainting. There's a danger of turning back and not keeping the faith and not doing what we ought to do. Israel became discouraged. They fainted that day. They perished in the wilderness. How sad, how sad. But let's not us be like them. And so my challenge for you this morning is don't faint when discouraged, because we all have times when we get discouraged. Don't faint when discouraged with life's reverses that come upon you. I so often say today, in these days and these times, we live in a sin-cursed world, and we can get discouraged. We can get discouraged over work. We can get discouraged over all kinds of things that become a problem to us. If life has given you only the things that you want, well, how blessed you have been, because that is not normal that we escape any adverse circumstances. If you're like most people, you have had your giants and your hard times come into your life. You may be experiencing some of those right now. There might be a giant in your life. Some sort of an adverse circumstance that you're distressed over. And it may be paralyzing you spiritually. That happens. It may be affecting your relationship with others. It might be affecting your relationship with people at work. You are fainting or about to faint. When you come into experiences like that, don't faint like Israel fainted. Be strong. Trust God. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And there's a price to pay for that. We just read about what Israel wanted to do. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Well, God didn't allow them to go back to Egypt. What he did was he didn't let them go into the land at that time. And they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And I promise you, it is a wilderness. We've been there and seen it. And it is a wilderness. And so the things you suffer, others suffer also. And we need to have the attitude, the the perspective that we are going to press on. You may faint and be discouraged or tempted to faint anyway with life's reverses in your life, first of all. Secondly, it might be with your own failures and disappointments. Those are difficult to cope with. When you realize you have fainted, you have failed, you have messed up, as we say, and then you have to live with the consequences of your own failures. But that's the time to buck up. That's the time to press on. That's the time to look to God and do like Caleb did. Say, I'm going to press on. I'm going to trust in God. I am going to live for Him. These can be very stressful times, of course. But we need to remember, none of us is God. We're all going to make some mistakes along the way. That's only natural. That's to be expected. Few people go through life without experiencing personal failures, mistakes, miscalculations. Well, you simply say, all right, God, what do I do next? What are you going to do to help me? That's just simply what we have to do. Personal failures are embarrassing. They make us feel so very ashamed. You want to quit. You're ready to faint because you feel so weak. The good news is, there's good news. The good news is that you do not have to faint. We have many biblical examples of people who fainted, but only temporarily. They bounced back. They rose again. It would have been better if they had not fainted at all, but they renewed their determination. Think of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He was too patriotic to do that. He didn't want to go there. He fled in a ship, had an experience with a whale, and then he rose up and he went to Nineveh and he proclaimed the word of God, and the people responded. John Mark was with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but he didn't even get so far as where they needed to go, where they expected to go, and he got discouraged. We don't know exactly what the problem was. Maybe it just sounded exciting to go on a missionary journey. And he got partway and he said, this isn't so exciting after all. And he went back. But thank God, we find in 2 Timothy 4:11, the Apostle Paul says, bring John Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He pressed on. He rebounded. Maybe he matured. I don't know. He must have looked at his life, his failure, and he said, this is no way to live. And he pressed on. Peter failed. Peter said, I'll never fail with you, Lord. You know? And then he denied the Lord three times in one night. But Peter was a man that rebounded so quickly. As soon as the cock crowed the third time. Peter, what did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. And it wasn't too long, very long, until he was preaching on the day of Pentecost and proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ to all those who were gathered there. There'll be times in your life when you'll fail, but you do not have to faint. You do not have to falter totally. Just get up and get going. Remember what Israel should have done and what they did and the tremendous price they had to pay. Don't faint when you're discouraged. Discouraged with your own circumstances that aren't favorable, with your own failures, and thirdly, with the failure and disappointments in others as well. Sadly, people also faint when somebody they love, somebody they respect, somebody they care about, somebody that they're counting upon, fails, disappoints them. And sometimes people get so disappointed, they fail terribly spiritually. And they have a difficult time rebounding, responding once again. When somebody that they have high respect for goes astray, people will nurture the hurt, nurture the disappointment and disillusion for years and to their own hurt. It could be a person who led you to the Lord, could be a father, could be a mother, could be a teacher. It could even be a preacher. Sometimes that happens. But remember, if you faint because someone disappointed you, you are just as useless to God as they are. In fact, you might even be more useless to God. You need to be, it need to keep pressing forward. Remember this, you need to focus on God and not focus on the failures of others, but focus on God and what God wants to do in your life. Count on it. If you live very long, somebody significant in your life is going to disappoint you. I remember when the pastor that married us, he gave us good advice. He really did. And then he went back on it himself. He got infatuated with a secretary and ended up divorcing his wife. He told us, I remember this, he told us, never look back. He looked back. He failed. But we kept going. Yeah. Yeah. We kept going. Almost 65 years now. So we didn't look back. We look back and remember the commitment we made when we got married. Don't fail with the apparent failures of God. I say the apparent failures of God. God does not fail. But sometimes it can have the appearance that maybe that has happened. People will faint, they'll give up when they think God has failed them. You might pray for a particular thing. It could be a son, a daughter. It could be a job or a promotion at work you pray for. It doesn't happen. And you read the scripture, and the scripture says that God is a father that gives good things to you. And you've served God faithfully, but you've been stricken with a disease, and you think, well, why would God do that? Why would he bring that upon me? But it happened. It seems like God maybe has failed you. I have good news for you. God never fails. He just does not fail. Now, there's reasons why some things come into your life that you would prefer did not come into your life. One of them is simply this. As I mentioned earlier, we live in a sin-cursed world, and that brings all kinds of problems that we have to deal with in the world. But we have a God who hears and answers prayer as well. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now that's Deuteronomy 31:6. Can you believe that? Can you believe it for your own personal life? You see, if you don't, you run the risk of faltering and failing along the way. Once again, we have many examples of people in the Bible who certainly could have thought that God had failed them. And they could have fainted, but they did not. Think, just remind you of Daniel. Daniel prayed like he always did. There were people out to get him. And he knew that there was the possibility he could end up going into the lion's den. And he went into the lion's den. But by morning, it was clear that God had not failed. He looked around and he said, "I have pussycat. Yeah, all is well here this morning." God showed himself faithful to Daniel and to his enemies as well. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They faced a challenge as well. And if they disobeyed, they're going into a furnace of fire that was heated so hot that the men who threw them into the furnace died from the heat. And pretty soon, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Come on out, come out." And they came out without even the smell of smoke on their clothes. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. My, if you were in that situation, you might think, "God has failed me. I am so disappointed in God." No, God did not fail. Oh, no. And then he ended up in a prominent place, and and circumstances went wrong again, and he ended up in prison. But God had a purpose. God was working his purpose. God was making sure that Israel would be preserved when a famine came, which he knew was coming. Then there's Job. Oh, Job. Job. Can you imagine losing all of your family except your wife who says, curse God and die? Oh, oh my. But God had a purpose. And God left one of the biggest books in the Bible to encourage us to not give up. And he did not. The early church, persecution came into their lives. And there was a purpose for it. They scattered out of Jerusalem. And the gospel began to spread. The Apostle Paul also, the Apostle Paul recites in the last half of 2 Corinthians 11, all the persecution and problems he had gone through. And it got so bad, three times he asked God, God, can I get relief from this? And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, okay, I get the point. I'm going ahead. And none of this caused any of them to fail. They got discouraged, but they didn't fail. So what's the lesson for us? Be strong. Look to God for inner strength to be faithful, to press on, to trust in God. Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It is not the outer man that is renewed, you see. It's the inner man that is renewed. And we need to be very, very familiar with the Word of God, including the Old Testament. Don't neglect it. It's the strength of soul that the Word of God and the Spirit of God brings to us. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. It's the Lord that is going to strengthen you. I'm told there's a mountain in Tennessee. We don't even recognize them as mountains in the West, but there's a mountain in Tennessee, and there was a lady. There was a cabin towards the top of the mountain, and this lady was searching for that cabin, and weather turned bad. She got caught in a snowstorm that really turned vicious, and she couldn't find the cabin, and she got so discouraged, so distraught, she finally just sat down and died. There's a marker there, a tribute to her. She sat down and died 100 steps from the cabin. Don't give up. We have a great God. Israel could have gone into the land, God would have given them the strength, the ability to get into the land 40 years earlier than they did. When difficulties come into your life, trust God. I've been in pastors' conferences and pastors talk about the Blue Mondays they have after Sunday. I never had a Blue Monday. I never did. Why? Well, partly because I'm a positive individual, but for the most part, it's because I served a great God. And whatever discouragements might have come, I'm going to press on. You do the same. And God will bless you. So we encourage it. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Trust God. Look to Him for strength. Keep pressing on, whether the victory is a day or two away or many years away. Be strong, and the victory will come. I counsel a lady on a regular basis, by phone. She lives in another state, was in our congregation in Littleton, Colorado. And she's had a hard life, a really hard life. But she continues to trust God and care for her. I can't promise her that she's going to have some marvelous things happen for her in this life yet. But I know heaven is coming. Reward is coming. And He'll do the same for you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the promises of the Word of God, for the examples of the Word of God, for the blessings and the curses that we're to be aware of. And thank You, Lord, for all who have trusted in Christ. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will simply continue to work in us and help us. We need to be so conscious, so aware of the fact that we are human, that we are not God, nowhere near that. But we thank You that You called us, brought us to You, and help us, Lord, to serve You faithfully, constantly. And we will praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.